Wake up, Tucson. It's your town. Get up and get involved. It's Wake Up Tucson with Chris DeSimone on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
This town is a lonely town, not the only town like this town. This town is a make you town. Break you down and bring you downtown.
8:07 and a half in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Remember, if you miss anything on the show, go to DeSimoneHQ.com. It has podcasts. It has streaming, our best of YouTubes. Has a past guest list. It has my favorite locally owned restaurants in Pima County. So, again, a lot of you will email me on a Friday afternoon and go, I want to take my wife to blank, or my family's coming into town and I need this. So instead of me answering you, which I don't mind doing, just go to the website, because there's like 38 restaurants on there. So yesterday I was just at June Dynasty over on Grant and Country Club, which is totally amazing, and they were great again yesterday. If you missed any part of the show, I made an announcement. With the transfer of ownership of the station, some of you were worried I might be going away after October, and then some of you maybe in Pima County upper management was praying that I was going away. Well, what happened was I had a great meeting with Amador, our new owner, and he's very passionate about Wake Up Tucson and very supportive. So we continue going on, and we're going to add another hour. So 6 to 10 of terrorizing your airwaves on the Wake Up Tucson show.
Wake up, Tucson.
So thanks to all of you listeners. It can't happen without you. It can't happen with our amazing sponsors that I know we're bringing great value to, because the Wakeys show up and support. And then thanks to everyone who's gotten us here. Mary Martin, Doug Martin, the whole team at KVOI, my old friend Joe Higgins, of course, and then Ed Alexander and Adriana. I got the best crew in town. So thanks to all of you, starting November 1st, 6 to 10. And then one more announcement this Saturday, happy hour, K Bonita on Tancaverde, 5:30 to 7:30. Carmen's putting together a Tucson art show. There'll be like 20-something different artists showing off their best. And then we'll have appetizers, cocktails, 5:30. Go to the U of A game after. That's at 8. By the time the Pac-12 Network gets it on the air, it'll be 8:20. So okay. 3 hours later,
you
for goodness time. Sake.
Thank you.
So,
plenty of football.
Please let Adriana know you're coming. WUTEvents@gmail.com. Thanks to Morgan Stanley's Alan Willenbrock for support of our events. And Feynman just told you, next Rocky Point trip you can get on is the first weekend of October. So, listening to the show over the years, my co-host, old co-host Joe and I, we're both cradle Catholics. And we would talk about various things in the Catholic Church. Joe was a board member of Sal Point, so sometimes he would go, hey, let's not go there. He'd pull me back a little bit, you know. And he'd go, oh, no, DeSimone's going to go off on this stuff. And so, again, so recently we just had a grand jury revelation that this Catholic priest abuse problem was bigger and worse than we ever thought. Then we have things going on the upper levels of... We have Cardinal McCarrick, who has been accused or proven or the various things. And then I have a very prominent cardinal accusing the Pope of covering it up. And so, again, the church, the Catholic Church, and Ed's also a cradle Catholic from Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
Goes to Francis Cabrini over there, which is an interesting church over there, Ed. God bless you.
It is these days.
Ed, can you put her microphone on, please?
I'm ready.
And her name is Renee Schaefer Horton. She used to work for the Tucson Citizen. Give us the bio real quick.
I spent about almost 20 years freelancing for the Catholic press and the secular press, covering Catholic issues. And for 11 years, I was an op-ed columnist for the Dallas, Texas Catholic. Wow. The Fort Worth Catholic newspaper, the Hawaii Catholic Herald, and then for a couple of years for the Catholic Vision.
And then you also worked for the Tucson Citizen here.
Yeah, and I worked I worked for 2 years for the Tucson Citizen. I had the unique privilege of covering my newspaper's closure. I was, myself and my editor were the last people in the building as I was covering that last day. And I did, I covered higher ed for them and religion, so.
So I opened up, I don't open up a paper anymore. I went on the, I was online, like the cool kids, and I saw an op-ed by yourself.
Indeed.
That had quite a spicy headline to it.
I didn't write the headline.
I know, but still.
Yes.
It did, I think, correctly give the essence of your column.
Yes.
Which is, until things get cleaned up at the Catholic Church, don't give them another dime.
True. I mean, I think that...
This is a big column for you to write.
Yeah, but, you know, I wasn't sleeping. And I was just a basket case over it after, because I read the report. I didn't read all 884 pages, but I skipped forward to page 300 and started reading the actual details of each priest.
Right.
And I read about 200 pages. And, you know, I
can't believe you kept your lunch down.
Yeah. Well, and I just kept thinking, this is ridiculous. It has to stop, because we were here in 2002. I covered the USCCB conference in Dallas in 2002, and that was the first time the conference ever had lay people address it, and it had victims come forward as, you know, address the conference, as well as some professionals, one of whom was Scott Appleby, who's a church, he's a church expert and a historian, and his specialty is in American Catholicism.
Right.
And at that time, he said, you know, accountability is the issue. Accountability with the hierarchy. We don't know. We literally don't know what you're hiding from us. So just stop doing it. You know, just tell us everything. Help us get through this, et cetera, et cetera. And one of his main points was that he felt like the church wouldn't survive if there wasn't an equal sharing of authority with laity, because you have to have some lay people in the room to kind of break through the father knows best sort of attitude.
Correct. So let's talk about your, were you born Catholic?
Yep, cradle Catholic.
And in addition to covering it, you have been, just so people know, you're pretty active as much as you can.
Yeah, no, raising kids, we were everything. You know, we painted the preschools in Dallas, I mean, in Texas, where we came from, with our first parish. I started in eighth grade playing music for the church. Our family does a lot of, we move around, roaming Catholics, as you said.
Welcome to my world.
Right, for parishes that needed music. I've taught CCD, I've been a youth group leader, I've been a confirmation teacher, I've been a confirmation sponsor. I've got two godchildren, one named Anne, no E, she always tells me that, she's 4, and one named Annie, who's 16, you know, and so I'm big into it. I've gone and talked to the bishop a few times about various things, and this is my church, and I've tried to leave. I have tried to leave, and every single time I try to leave, because I'm like, women should be ordained. And
what does that look like, you leaving?
Well, I just can't. I've tried, like, I've gone to, so during my college years, I went to Episcopal churches, I went to Lutheran churches, I tried the Baptists, I tried the Methodists. When I was writing my columns, I had a really good friend who was a Methodist preacher in Arkansas, because I also had a weekly column on family life issues for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette for about 7 years. And he was a big fan of my writing, and we got to be friends over the internet. And one time I told him, I said, you know, sometimes I just don't think I can, it was around 2002, I don't think I can do it anymore. Maybe I should become Methodist. And he said, you know, I've found that Catholics, cradle Catholics, have a hard time, you know, going to another church. You know, it just doesn't, because it's more than just your religion. It's your culture, too, I think.
Right.
You know?
Sure, it's part of your identity.
Yeah. But anyway.
So you're like me, and you can correct me. No human being is going to ruin your relationship with Jesus Christ.
So that's
is that where we're at?
That's sort of the issue. It's like, that's where I find that's where I find God and Jesus is in the Catholic Church, as flawed as it is. But I feel like Jesus calls us to stand up to the hierarchy when they need to be corrected. It's like, you know, Dorothy Day.
Sure.
She used to sign her letters to the bishop, "Your angry and obedient servant." And that's what it is. So.
All right, let's do this. Let's go visit some great sponsors. 8:16 in the morning. We have Renee Schaefer Horton here. She wrote a great column, I think, a couple of weeks ago about not giving another dime to the Catholic Church. Stop donating to the Catholic Church now is the title. And until they fix, they got to clean up the house a little bit here. So.
Yep.
If you have a question or comment or your story, please join us, 790-2040, wakeuptucson@gmail.com. We'll see you in a bit.
Trying to save the day for the old world man. Trying to pave the way for the third world man.
Musical birthdays today, Neil Peart, drummer of Rush.
Barry White, Big Bad Barry White.
And George Jones.
Wake up, Tucson. Call us now, 790-2040.
The newly redesigned 2018 Subaru Outback. It comes with road-gripping standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus 32 miles per gallon. Updated Subaru Starlink multimedia featuring standard Apple CarPlay and Android Auto integration keeps you connected along the way. It's surprisingly roomy and comfortable with over 108 cubic feet of passenger space and upgraded trim, and it helps keep your journey safe. Available blind spot detection and rear cross-traffic alert plus a standard rear vision camera help give you all-around awareness. And the Outback is a 2017 IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus, with eyesight and steering responsive headlights. This may be our most adventurous Outback yet.
This is Rocky DeCristofano for Tucson Subaru. Right now, get as low as 0% APR financing, OAC, on 2018 Outbacks. Stop by or visit TucsonSubaru.com today.
EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2018 Subaru Outback 2.5 by models. Actual mileage may vary. Blind spot detection, lane change assist, and rear cross traffic alert are systems designed to assist the driver by monitoring the rear and side areas of the vehicle during a lane change or reversing, and are not a substitute for safe and attentive driving.
Where can you enjoy spectacular views, listen to great live music, experience delicious food, specialty cocktails, beers, and wines? The best happy hour in the foothills is at Hacienda del Sol Guest Ranch Resort, available in the Terraza Garden Patio and Lounge, Monday through Thursday from 3 to 6 p.m. Enjoy draft beers, wines, and specialty cocktails for just $6 each. Delicious bites start at just $4.50, all masterfully created by the Terraza chefs. Check out our full happy hour menu and upcoming special events at HaciendaDelSol.com.
Hey, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's that time. U of A tailgating. Wow, the mall is smoking. Hey, weren't you just here for the Festival of Books? You're,
Dave Barry.
The food at this tent is a real work of art. Wait, aren't you?
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Hey, save me some of that tri-tip. That's my priority. Wait, you're?
Chris Edwards.
I saw you at a block party in Buffalo.
John Fina.
Hey, you can join the party, too. Arizona Party Rental, your celebration destination. Online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
From the blues to the good news, we call it Gospel on Fire with blues legend John Lee Hooker Jr. Friday, September 14th, 6:30 p.m. at the Reed Park Bandshell. Gospel on Fire is a free Christian outreach event featuring blues legend, two-time Grammy nominee, and gospel singer John Lee Hooker Jr. preaching the Word of God and performing gospel from his new album. Gospel on Fire, 6:30 p.m. Friday, September 14th at the Reed Park Bandshell.
Elvis, fill Fred up to his pelvis. Yabba dabba doo, the king is gone, and so are you.
Round 8:20 in the morning. Music theme, of course, we have three birthdays today. Neil Peart from Rush, George Jones, and Barry White. I mean, you can't get more diverse than that. So, 790-2040 is the phone number, wakeuptucson@gmail.com. We are talking with Renee Schaefer Horton. The column is Stop Donating to the Catholic Church, period, now, period. And you can get it at the Arizona Daily Star. It was August 26th was the published date. We're talking about how me, you, and Ed Alexander are all cradle Catholics who have been very frustrated with a lot of, I'm going to say, shenanigans of the Roman Catholic Church. You can correct me if that's the wrong professional word, shenanigans.
Well, some of it, I think, should be called crimes.
And crimes,
and that's
correct.
Some of the problem.
You're totally correct. The first time that this all came to light, my take was that it was pretty much mishandled, all right, for various reasons.
Right.
One, I thought that doing a class action lawsuit helped start the wheel of non-accountability, because there were a lot of things that should have came to light that didn't because we had a class action lawsuit.
You mean here in Tucson?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number two, I thought we did a disservice to the good priests in this town who really do not do child abuse and are really true servants of the faith, because no one came out to say, man, we got a lot of good priests in this diocese. I felt like there was this whole shenanigans where they said, oh, the dioceses were not the parishes.
Right.
I mean, I was just telling, I don't know if you remember this, they had parish council picture day at the hotel downtown where the chancellor and Bishop Kincannis sat at an empty table with empty chairs, and they rotated all the parish councils to come in to take a picture with them saying, this is the parish council, but these two guys are always on it.
Right.
So you could tell even there, we want to make sure, we want to make this separation that the diocese, because they were trying to say, you can only touch this money, but not that money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what about you when this was going on the first time? What were your feelings and observations? And then now that you look back on it,
what do I think?
Yeah.
So some of the issue, I'm not a canon lawyer, and the bankruptcy, everything that happened in the bankruptcy in 2004, seemed. Part of me was like, well, they're doing the best they can. But the other part of me, especially with things like, okay, now every parish council, the bishop is on every parish council. It was almost the whole separation of the diocese from the parishes. It seemed like they were trying to separate them, make them their own corporation, or at least make that official. In some dioceses, like the Lincoln Diocese, I've talked to people in Lincoln, Nebraska, and they said that's always been the way it has been, you know?
Right.
But so maybe it was to make that situation more official. But to me, what it had the effect of is you guys at the parish, you're still donating to your parish. Some of that money's still going to come to the diocese. Most parish money goes to the staff of the parish. Some of it's going to still come to the diocese. We're supposedly protecting you from being sued, but it looked like what they were really doing was trying to protect the entire diocese from being sued.
Right.
And it just got very convoluted. And I don't know. It just looked shifty. I don't know if it was shifty, but that's how it looked. And that's what caused some people at that time to leave. I have a friend who told me that he stopped giving in 2002 because of that. He just stopped giving. But he does what I suggest in my column, is that he gives directly to things that the Catholic Church might support otherwise through
Correct.
The bishop's appeal.
Now, we had basically child rapists who were priests. We had bishops who thought either we're going to cover it up and or we're going to just move them to a new parish and that's going to change their behavior.
Right.
And so my thing is, did the 2004 class action lawsuit, did those people and their families really get justice?
So I have actually heard from one of the parents of one of the children who was abused by Monsignor. I can't say because I don't know if she wants it public, but he was abused by one of the priests who was accused here in Tucson, and it was just a heartbreaking letter because, yes, the diocese paid out, I can't remember, $2.4 million or something for therapy for victims and for helping them and all of that sort of stuff in reparations. But you can't undo a teenage boy being attacked by a priest, being groomed for 6 years, and the person is now a middle-aged man and still struggling, very much so.
Right.
And it's that's what's hard. And I have talked to the various bishops, including this our former bishop, Bishop Kakanis, who has talked to the victims, and the victims say, you know, you can't really do anything to help me now, but make sure this doesn't ever happen again.
Correct.
And I think that's the problem with these new revelations, is that even though these are from 1940 to 2010, and even though everybody keeps mentioning that only two of the cases happened in the last 10 years, these are cases that are reported. And what I think the average Catholic feels is like, okay, we thought it was done 16 years ago, and now this huge shoe dropped, in addition to knowing about McCarrick and right. knowing that half the bishops knew about McCarrick. What's going to happen next? So there's this complete lack of trust, I believe,
correct.
In a lot of Catholics. Now, not every Catholic. I sat in Mass, you know, and watched as a priest did a horrible job of not mentioning the victims. In a sermon where he said that it was really hard to be a priest during the first round of abuses because, you know, you felt like you were guilty by association, and he never mentioned the victims. I was like, you know who it's really hard for? It's really hard for those little kids or those teenage boys. That's who it's hard for. Their lives have been ruined. And so I watched that, and I got very incensed, and yet numerous people sitting around me in the pews didn't seem to care.
No. There's a lot of zombies out there.
Yeah.
What could have happened in 2004 that you think the church could have done better?
I think that what happened. So in 2002, when the bishops met, they came up with this idea of zero tolerance, and that did help. Absolutely helped. The problem with zero tolerance is you have to have one abuse. Like, I have to come forward, or my parent has to come forward and say, Father Joe attacked me. So I've already been damaged. When the suggestions that were made at 2002 by the laity were that more lay people were put on all these boards to examine seminarians and stuff like that. Now, lay people were put on boards to examine accusations, but I don't think lay people were put on boards to examine seminarians, people who want to go to seminary.
Right.
They did increase the amount of psychological testing. And so things have gotten better. Absolutely, they've gotten better. We don't have a lot of abuses. But the sharing of authority and the admitting that you did something wrong, really admitting it. It's not enough to just say, we tried. That it's just not enough. I think every bishop should have and should be doing it right now, having town halls all around the diocese that they're in and just taking whatever they hear from the laity.
I have a friend of mine who is friends with someone who was abused by a priest. Okay, and he says every time he's downtown and he sees the Bishop Moreno Pastoral Center, he wants to throw up in his mouth a little bit.
Mm.
And the reason is that whether Bishop Moreno knew or not, he knew on some of the stuff. You look at the Juan Guillen stuff and whatever.
Everybody.
It's pretty. The idea that we honored his, put his name on a building makes this guy sick every day.
Yep.
Okay. And it's kind of like, I'm to this thing with something like that. It's like the scene from the Ten Commandments when Moses gets exiled. And Cedric Hardwick, the Pharaoh, says, strike his name from every obelisk, pyramid, temple in Egypt.
Right.
That's what should have happened with some of these guys.
Well,
the idea that happened, I was just like, what are we doing?
Well, that's a great point, and I think that's what I'm hearing now from a lot of people, is that if you knew, if you were a bishop who knew anything about this, you should offer your resignation. That's what they did in Chile, right? All
right.
The bishops came forward from Chile and said, you know, I think it was 335, and they offered up their resignations. The Pope ended up only taking three of them, but all of them were willing to go.
Right.
And that's what I think. I find it hard to believe that I think we have 350 bishops in the United States here, Catholic bishops. Of those 350, that not half of them didn't know about Cardinal McCarrick. Those half should go right away.
Correct.
And the other ones that may have known about the Pennsylvania stuff, if they were all talking about it, like, oh, I've got this in my diocese, I've got that in my diocese. You know, the advantage of being in Tucson in 2004 with the bankruptcy is the bankruptcy forced them to have to open up their archives. So every single person who's ever been accused is on the, you know, is public.
Right.
As far as we know, unless they're hiding something else. But I don't think they are. Everybody's public that I know. There hasn't been a new accusation about a new priest in the last 10 years. There's been a couple of new people who've come forward, but they were from priests that were already listed.
All right, let's do this. Let's go visit some sponsors. We're with Renee Schaefer-Horton. We are talking about the crisis in the Catholic Church right now, 8:31 in the morning. We have three Catholics here who are struggling with this, and what we're going to do is we're going to start our Vatican III Council coming up. How are we going to fix this when we come back?
We're going to open the confessional.
We are
790-2040.
790-2040 is the phone number if you want to share your story or you have your comments about this. So wake up, Tucson.
We got it together, didn't we? Nobody but you and me. We've got it together, baby.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Wednesday during the noon hour, Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice.
My last, my everything, and the answer to all my dreams. You're my sun, my moon, my God.
When we started Sun Street Mortgage in 2005, our goal was to create a local mortgage company that would treat our clients like family and friends. Now it's many years later, and we've had great success. Today we have offices throughout Arizona and the Southwest. Even though we've grown, we have clients that are family and friends forever. Call us today at Sun Street Mortgage at 547-2400 if we can be of any help to you. Sun Street Mortgage, take the street that leads you home.
AZBK number 0907366 and MLS number 145171. Sun Street Mortgage LLC is an equal housing lender.
How would you like to direct your state taxes and help a child? This is Kim Kirshner with the Institute for Better Education, or IBE. We are a nonprofit school tuition organization committed to providing K-12 education for children that best fits their unique needs. You can pay the state, or you can help a child through the Arizona Private School Tax Credit Program. Your tax credit donation can even be made monthly. Learn about individual and business state tax credits at ibescholarships.org. You can make a difference in the life of a child at ibescholarships.org.
That's right, and don't forget to catch Happy Hour at Rocco's Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday from 5 till 9 p.m. And remember,
Rocco's Little Chicago Pizza, right around the corner.
A proud member of Tucson Original.
Extend your living space, update the look of your yard, and save money. Central Arizona Block is your only locally owned masonry products producer in southern Arizona. Cabco has a unique selection of paver products, as well as retaining wall products and commercial building units like split face, burnished face, and shot blast. Central Arizona Block for quality masonry products. Buy direct and save money. Extend your living space, update your yard, and save money by calling Central Arizona Block at 514-1177 or online at cabcoaz.com.
When you need a new water heater, call the licensed plumbers specializing in water heater replacements. At Just Water Heaters, that's all we do. Call Just Water Heaters for the lowest price in town guaranteed. We won't sell you what you don't need. We will replace the water heater, provide a permit, and do it all for less than the other guys. We are faster and more efficient and have everything we need with us. We have installed over 7,000 water heaters in Tucson. Call 488-0816 or go to justwaterheaterstucson.com, ROC 265-773.
It's a new era of Arizona football, both on the field and in Arizona Stadium. Fans can enjoy a wide variety of game day enhancements, such as new concession options, lower ticket prices, and more fireworks. The next home game is Saturday, September 15th, when the Wildcats take on Southern Utah. Kickoff set for 8 p.m. Tickets start at just $9. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB for tickets or call 520-621-621. Cats.
Wake up, Tucson. Good morning to you, and thank you for being with us. 836 it is. I'm Ed Alexander, and you are at AM 1030 KVOI. The voice, or listening later or online at KVOI.com. DeSimoneHQ.com for everything. Wake up Tucson. Traffic first in Navajo. A problem out there. Camino de Este and Valencia. Orange Grove and Thornydale. Cove and the east and westbound frontage roads at I-10. That's Cove and I-10 frontage roads right now. Broadway and Plummer. Yeah, we're busy. 6th Avenue and 14th Street. Alvernon and Aviation off-ramped. And that injury accident still might be out there at Grant and Tankaverde, Cove, all that around there, too. And up at Thornydale, just south of Ida. Sheesh. 102, the prediction for today. We're already up to about 79 at AM 1030. KVOI, The Voice.
Well, the G-men, revenue is too. Searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
Ooh, what lightning.
Eight 8:37 in the morning, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Christy Simone and Alexander, Renee Schaefer Horton. Tomorrow we have Congressman David Schweikert calling in from the swamp, and then Marana Mayor Ed Honey will be here. Let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Dr. Neil up in Nevada. Neil, you're on with Renee Schaefer Horton and myself. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, folks. Good morning, Renee. Another cradle Catholic, former altar boy. My heart is broken once again, And I just wanted to show how what I think so little is cared about this from at the Vatican. Just an hour ago, a post up on Town Hall that Pope Francis is convening a summit on the sex abuse scandal, and guess when it's going to be?
2024.
February.
Oh, okay.
six months. This is going to be put off for 6 months.
All the hotels are sold out until then, Neil.
I really think this could be one of those watershed moments for the Catholic Church where you're going to lose a lot of people. The Catholic Church is going to lose a lot of folks who are on the fence, adults, and they're going to take their families with them.
I hope
their
so.
Their children. Where is the next generation of Catholics going to come from? I mean, this is beyond. The Pope has got time for global warming and climate change and migrants, the dilemma of migrants, but he doesn't have time for children who are being sexually abused by his ministers, his priests.
Well, I think that, thanks for calling. I think that things are less black and white than we want them to be, but I do know that today or tomorrow, the head of the USCCB, Cardinal DiNardo, and Sean O'Malley are going to Rome to meet with the Pope, and they have, I don't know if you know this, but the day after the Pennsylvania report dropped, DiNardo said we need to know, you know, what the Pope knew, if he knew anything,
yes,
about Cardinal McCarrick and about these abuse cases and everything. There's kind of a problem though, because according to canon law, canon 1404 of the Code of Canon Law says that the first see, which S-E-E, which is the Pope, is judged by no one. That's how the church is set up. We're set up as a patriarchal, hierarchical church. And so even though the cardinals from here are going and saying, we want to know what you know and when you knew it, we may not know. The Pope doesn't necessarily have to answer. And that could be some of our issue, the way the church is set up. And maybe that's how things need to change.
Well,
Neil,
this is just very disappointing. It breaks my heart to think that this could be going on in the church.
I agree.
That the Pope wouldn't. This is a fire alarm. There has to be a response years ago.
Yeah, right.
A real response.
It seems unusual. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's that hard to come out and say, wow, we really screwed up. We need to fix things.
Yeah.
And I don't, I'm confused with you.
Hey, one of the cornerstones of the faith is confession and forgiveness.
Exactly.
But you got to confess, right? Jesus forgives your sins, and then he says, and sin no
Go
more.
Go forth and sin no more.
Sin no more. That's correct.
Neil, thanks for the good contribution, buddy.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
790-2040 is the phone number. I felt like my brother and I have talked about this over the years, right? There was this thing, we got to have a parish. You know, they had this, I think there was like this thing in their head, for every so many people, we need to have a church there and all of this stuff. And I felt like we have all these priests that they put in all these, like they had to, like there was this demand they thought they had to find, and they were going to put up with any priest humanly possible just to have a priest in every church.
Right.
I could actually close down half the churches in the Diocese of Tucson now, and no one would miss half of them.
Yeah, sometimes I think that it would be better to have fewer parishes with better priests.
Correct.
Than, and I'm not saying that, if first we got to just get this out there, that 96% of the, if the abuse percentage of abuse of minors is 4%, which is what the John Jay report reported in 2002 of priests who were accused of abusing minors and vulnerable adults, that means 96% of the priests don't do stuff like that. And most priests are really good-hearted people, I think, who really want to make a difference.
Yep.
But I don't think many of them are trained that well, not only in the lack of sexual human development, but also obviously in homiletics. And these are just things that people have put up with for years because we want the Eucharist too.
Right.
You know?
Well, what happens is the priests have, some of them, have relegated themselves as a kind of a, just there's this creature up there that does communion. Right? That's where they've relegated themselves.
Because
they give crappy homilies.
Oh, yeah.
All right? I've had a priest that you and I know on the northwest side of town who actually started not doing the Lord's Prayer because he said it took away time from his homily.
Uh-huh.
And he was like the worst homilist ever.
Yeah. You know? That's bad. You can't take away the Lord's Prayer.
So in relation, and we'll get to your phone calls in the next segment, I promise. So hold on, 790-2040. First and foremost, having the idea that we have celibate priests.
Yes.
This is not really a necessary thing, is it?
True. It's a discipline. It's not doctrine. It came into being in 1100 and something, or 1054. Or was that the Great Schism? It's around there. So it wasn't.
This is like horseshoes and hand grenades. Close enough.
Yes, close enough. Thousands. There was 1,000 years where the priests were not celibate. You will hear two reasons for it. One is that there was a lot of misuse. There was the priests and bishops were accumulating property and then bequeathing that to their children, and so the church was losing property. And the other one is that priests always had to be celibate before the sacrifice of the Mass.
Right.
And so maybe they were celibate on Saturday night. And when we got to daily Mass, then you're supposed to be celibate. So there was like, these are the two things that you're celibate all the time because it's daily Mass. These are the two things that I have in my reporting and stuff, and I've asked about it. These are the reasons I've been given. Their celibacy is also at the same time called a charism, which is a gift. Not everybody would have that gift. You cannot mandate a gift. And yet that's what we insist upon. So you can't.
It's not a gift if it's
not given. Right.
Right.
And so some of the issue is we either have to stop calling it a gift and just say, this is the discipline. You have to be celibate to be a priest. Or we could be like the Orthodox where their priests, if you're married, you can become a priest in the Orthodox Church, and in some of the Eastern rites of the Catholic Church. But if your wife dies, you can't remarry, and you can't become a bishop if you are married.
So the Byzantines have been doing it for hundreds of years, having married priests.
Right.
And they'll tell you that they're more old school than the Roman Catholic Church.
Well, their liturgy right. Definitely is definitely more old school. And so I think that we could have optional celibacy. It's something the bishop should absolutely address. And they shouldn't say, well, Rome's the only one who can decide. If everyone in the United States, if all the bishops in the United States went to Rome and pushed hard enough, we could have optional celibacy. Some people could be celibate, some people could not.
You and I, now I will warn you that we're going to have to do part two of this conversation,
okay,
because there's a lot of meat on this bone. So okay, hopefully we didn't scare you enough. You're coming back next month. I'm just telling you that.
Okay, okay? Thanks.
Number two, you and I were talking last week a little bit about this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And you were bringing up someone who's done a lot of studying on this about how many priests are really not celibate.
Richard Sipe.
Okay.
So he's an ex-priest, and so sometimes he's a psychologist, and he was a priest, and he left the priesthood, and he married a nun, an ex-nun. And the church has dismissed him in the past as somebody who's sour grapes. Oh, he's just not a priest anymore. But that's not the case.
Their trustworthy level on their opinions on this is pretty low right now. So.
Exactly. So he spent a number of years doing the largest study of sexuality of Catholic priests, where he did anonymous interviews. You know, I mean, he did in-person interviews, but they were anonymous. And what he discovered was that at any given point, about 50% of Catholic priests are not celibate. That does not mean that they are abusing people. It could mean that they are in relationship with another woman or maybe another man, but they are maybe not at any given point. 50% may not actually be able to abide by their vow of celibacy. And, you know, just think about the trauma that causes them, too. You know, they want to be a priest. They feel called to be a priest, and yet, you know, they have struggles with their sexuality. They fall in love or whatever.
It's natural.
Yeah.
Whereas God created us, correct?
Well, this
right?
is true.
And
James,
the idea that if you're going to live an unnatural lifestyle, which is celibacy, mm-hmm, and you're going to throw a man into a situation in a parish church with women and families and all of this going on in life, that is a lonely as hell lifestyle that you're going to relegate this guy to.
Well, that's an interesting point, because in the abuse cases, the incidence of abuse in religious orders, men live in community, and sometimes they live in community with sisters, like the Dominican priests and the Dominican nuns. They live in houses that are next door to each other. Their rate of abuse of minors in these reports was less than half of the abuse cases of diocesan priests, who tend to be lone rangers, right?
Right, because the part of it is they're part of a community.
The
right?
religious orders, yes.
And there's support from your fellow brothers and sisters, because
exactly,
they're doing the same thing.
Right, right. So that could be part of it.
All right, let's do this. We're going to go to break. We're going to take your phone calls. We're going to have to wait. Vatican III will have to be in October.
Okay.
So we're going to start we're going to call it Vatican III in October.
Okay.
So, and we'll really get excommunicated. But in the end, we're not hating on this for the hate of hating on it. We're hating on it because we don't want, there are human beings ruining this church that we love so much.
Right.
And that's why we're making the stand here on Wake Up Tucson. So wake up. Yeah, you're honest.
Prager, mornings 9 till noon, here on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice.
Looking for a great lunch? Stop by Zona 78 for our 10 for 10 lunches. 10 items for $10 or less every Monday through Friday. Enjoy any of our pizzas in an 8-inch version with a side salad for just $10. Come try our house-made meatballs and marinara sauce sandwich on a ciabatta roll, our chef's daily take on a classic, creative, and cheesy grilled cheese sandwich, or try one of our yummy, fresh-made pasta dishes. Stop by Zona 78 on Tancaverde for our 10 for 10 lunches today. Zona 78, simple made extraordinary.
Neighborhood stalwarts. Virginia and Frank Butley are overjoyed when Tanya and Pablo Del Valle move into the fixer-upper next door. But opposing views about culture, politics, and landscaping push these well-meaning couples into a border battle. Don't miss Native Gardens, a laugh-out-loud, big-hearted comedy with a lot of sharp little teeth. September 8th through the 29th at the Temple of Music and Art. Tickets available at arizonatheater.org.
Fall is right around the corner, and it's a great time to spruce up your patio. Quality Pottery on South Nogales Highway and Pottery Fiesta in Catalina are offering huge savings store-wide. Everything at both stores is discounted 30%. Treat yourself to superior quality products at affordable prices. We offer more than just pots. Locally owned and operated with exceptional customer service, too. That's Quality Pottery on South Nogales Highway and Pottery Fiesta in Catalina. Everything at both stores is discounted 30% off. Swing by today.
Get in and buckle up. It's back to school and we're late. Mom, stop!
Hey, watch where you're going.
Wow, good thing we got the brakes done at Perfection Auto Works.
Whatever. Mom, you almost ran over my friend Ashley. And can you please turn down the AC? It's freezing in here since you got the car back from Perfection Auto Works.
Yep, it's that time of year again. Buses, crosswalks, annoying kids. At Perfection Auto Works, we want your car to be safe and reliable. From brakes, hoses and belts, to AC and oil changes, air conditioning, and even that pesky check engine light. Call today for an appointment. 323-8650. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Do you have a car, truck, boat, or RV parked in your driveway that you no longer need? By donating your vehicle to Goodwill, it'll do good for the thousands of people in southern Arizona that take part in Goodwill's jobs, training, and services. Your tax-deductible donation will help them reach their career and educational goals. Donate your vehicle today. Call 520-623-5879 or visit goodwillsouthernaz.org. With Goodwill, it's so easy to do good.
Oh, it's crying time again. You're gonna leave me.
All right, we got to get going real quick. I was just getting her fired up on Dr. Neil and our forestry conversations because she's done some forestry work in her life. That'll be a whole other conversation after Vatican III. We'll have her and Dr. Neil on about forestry this winter.
Save our forests.
Her name's Renee Schaefer Horton. What's your website that people can check out your work?
It's www.reneewrotethis.com.
Thank you very much. So that was easy. So we'll have to continue this conversation in another time. And I love talking to you today.
That's fine.
We could do this for 5 hours. We're gonna have lunch together soon. We'll go deeper on this. But let's go. We got 3 phone calls in 7 minutes. So let's go to Peggy on line 2. Peggy, you're on with Chris and Renee. What's up?
Hi. Hi. My name's Peggy. And hi, Renee.
Hi, Peggy.
I live here in Tucson, Arizona. And I am a cradle Catholic, sent to Catholic schools with the old back then nuns who were really scary and used to hit your knuckles with rulers if you weren't behaving. And I have just recently made the decision to actually walk away from the Catholic Church. This whole sex abuse cases and everything has just put me way over the edge, and I never thought I would walk away from the Catholic Church, but I have. It's horrible and it's deplorable, and the fact that the church has covered it up, which only caused more children to be abused by the fact.
Peggy, is there anything the church can do to get you back one day?
I don't know, but I do believe there definitely does have to be some change. And probably one is I would like to see women ordained as priests. And the other thing is, I think they need to get rid of the celibacy and allow priests to be married and have families.
Peggy, you're already laying out the beginnings of our Vatican III discussion.
You know, I think
for
next month. We all believe a lot of that, Peggy. We all.
Peggy, I got to get two more calls in before I run out of time.
Thank you
for your call. Thank you for sharing that. And keep tuning in. 790-2040. Let's go to Richard on line 3. Richard, what's up, sir?
God bless Peggy. She had done the right thing, and she had the right answer, Chris. You have to allow priests and nuns to marry. You have to allow nuns to be priests. You have to clean up the managerial hierarchy of the church. You know, gay pedophiles tend to hire gay pedophiles. It's a great place to hide in the church. And the problem for the church is you cannot change the church unless you change the hierarchy. The hierarchy is for old men who are deeply involved in this corruption. So you guys got to start the grassroots. You got to have a revolution in the church. You've got to demand that they give up their archaic, backward belief systems, which include condemning gays and lesbians and all this. You got to open it up and get rid of these priests.
Richard, thanks for the good call, man. Thanks for the passion. I'm there for the revolution.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are there for the revolution.
I'm there. Yep.
And my thing, like I said to you last week on our discussion, and I've said on the air before, hey, Catholic priests, bishops, Pope, this catechism and all this faith tradition, can you ask us to follow?
Right.
You guys need to do the same thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Come on. Let's go to Joe Dreyfus, not Richard Dreyfus, Joe Dreyfus on line four. Joe, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, buddy. Fascinating discussion. Ma'am. Dating clear back to Father Green, who later became Bishop Green, in the greater Tucson area, pedophile priests have been covered up since forever. Would you say that we have a culture within the priesthood of pedophiles?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'd say the 96% of Catholic priests do not abuse minors, and we have only had in the nation only two cases of abuse of minors in the last 2 years since the zero tolerance got established in 2002. I do think there may be a problem with what's called ebiophilia, which is the attraction to children in late adolescence, 15 to 18 year olds. And the vast majority of the cases that were reported were actually in the 11-year-old to 14-year-old area, but then the next biggest was the 15 to 17, 18-year-old area. And it's an issue of sexual/human development in the seminary. If someone goes to seminary at a very young age and is exposed only to men, when they have their sexual feelings, they may act out with the men who are there. And then that may put them at risk for acting out later. But I don't think there's some, I'm not big on the conspiracy theory that there's some, you know, gay Vatican gay mafia or something. I don't think that's happening. That said, I do believe that the bishops it's a culture of clericalism, and they will do anything to protect the institution. And so they do probably know things, and they have covered up things.
Thank you.
Joe, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for the support, man. Renee, we ran out of time. It goes fast.
Perfect.
So I will see you hopefully next month.
Okay, great.
And we're gonna do Vatican III together.
Okay, let's do it.
Her name's Renee Schaefer-Hoffer. Wow. Renee Schaefer-Horton. ReneeWroteThis.com if you want to find out more.
Thank you.
All right, have a great day.
You too.
Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Ed, we'll see you tomorrow. David Schweikert calling from the swamp in D.C. Mayor Ed Honey from Marana. Friday, Mark Van Buren sequel movies. We have Hacienda del Sol talking about their Heritage Food Festival. And intern Max is in from California. So wake up, Tucson, 10:30 Boys.
Always look on the light side of life. Always look on the bright side of life.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.
Jolly rotten, there's something you forgot, and that's to love.